Gonna be editing day for me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When a fire starts to burn, right, and it starts to spread, she gonna bring that attitude home. You don't wanna do nothing with their life. When a fire starts to burn, right, and it starts to spread, she gonna bring that attitude home. You don't wanna do nothing with their life. When a fire starts to...
Hello, humans, and welcome to Bonus Audio Face. I am Sean.
I'm Dan.
And this is our disclosure bonus episode for the upcoming release, because we have listed Disclosure basically since their formation of a group, band, I don't know what you want to call them, group?
Duo,
yeah.
Experience.
Experience, yes, exactly. We're going to be going from, like, their earliest stuff from when they were like more house DJs, which is what I got into them in the Boiler Room mixes, from the Offline Dexterity EP all the way up to the Ecstasy EP, which dropped in February of this year.
February, which basically became the pop, the singles run up, the singles collection run up to Disclosure's third studio album, Energy. Mm-hmm. It's being released in about a week and a half from the time this podcast drops. And of course, will be reviewed by us on Audioface.
Yes.
It's an interesting thing because so much of that album came out, so we're trying our best to not comment on it.
Until yeah, the only one we'll comment is Energy, because we reviewed that on Audioface already, and yeah, we talked about. So, and that one I have listened to a lot. Any other single stuff, I literally have barred, and I'm like, I'm not listening to any of that at all. So Disclosure are brothers. We're brothers. Guy and Lauren, Guy and Lawrence, they're brothers. I think they're only 2 years apart or something like that. They're really close in age.
Yeah.
And they started pretty early on in the late 2000s, I like to say. Like 2008, 2009, they started to kind of mess around with like electronic music. And then like in 2010 is that they actually like firmly started to establish himself in the electronic music scene. But this is all underground stuff, so you got to be like deep in like in Mixmag, Boiler Room stuff. Like, you got to be a big house head like myself in order to get like to get into early Disclosure.
Yeah. So just some fun facts about them. Guy was born in 91 and Howard was born in 94.
Yeah.
Both of their parents were musicians.
Yes.
Their mother was actually one of the first musicians who was able to go to the Falkland Islands after that
after Thatcher's
escapade and perform there.
Okay.
They both attended the same college, Reigate, and they studied music and technology, which
is a great mix, because that's how they got into electronic music. Yeah.
And yeah, Guy was studying classical music, big fan of Bach and Debussy, and
Debussy.
Debussy. And it's kind of a classic sort of, you fall into these rabbit holes, you start discovering old school like Detroit house, you start discovering jazz and hip hop, and you also start discovering, especially because they're technology focused, mixing these things and putting them together and splicing certain parts of songs together with different songs to create a whole new thing. Basically what like the renaissance of 90s hip hop and also electronic music was made of, but slightly a more, I mean, to an extent, Disclosure have done a good job of mixing both of those things, because if you ever see them live, which we have many times, you'll see that they're performing with a mixing deck like you would expect any electronic music artist to do.
And then they play
live
drums. And they also play live.
Yeah, they sing.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing that to me sets them apart from a lot of electronic music makers, is that they do a lot of the stuff for themselves. Like on Fire Starts to Burn, Howard plays bass the whole time. And then he also does part of the vocals on it, while Guy does all the drums. So it's really cool in that regard, where you have two brothers where they're doing stuff together on stage, and it's a bit different than that, instead of just mixing or just pushing buttons and stuff, which mixing is very hard to do. You need to know how to do it and make sure it flows and stuff, because it is definitely difficult. I definitely heard Offline Dexterity. That's hilarious.
Whoops.
Yeah. Whoops. So speaking of that, we'll get into that. So in 2010, they released Offline Dexterity EP, which is Offline Dexterity and Streetlight Chronicle. And that kind of started to get them into the scene of a lot of DJs and music makers and stuff in the underground house scene. So like Scream started up with using Offline Dexterity into one of his mixes. Scream being my personal favorite DJ, still is to this day. He started with a lot of dubstep in the mid-2000s, and then like 2008, 2009, started switching to house mixing and stuff. And he started to get, actually, he was one of the first ones to get Disclosure up into doing Boiler Room, Mixmax sets and stuff. So he had a big part into their career.
I was going to say, I always think the interesting thing about listening to old Disclosure is the difference.
Oh, it's super house heavy at the beginning. It's different or to now, where today it's like night and day difference, which I do like from them a lot.
And you can very easily tell the Disclosure stuff, the early Disclosure, is very house focused, and it's because that's where their musical talents are. They're bringing in like a sponge, all these house influences and trying to kind of spit them out and make them their own. They aren't as talented with making it their own, so to speak, in the early stuff, which is why I think it's really cool to listen to their raw sort of idea of what their spin is on music.
Yeah, because exactly like Outland Dexterity, a lot of it, just the production of it, you can tell it's raw, but it's good. And you can hear like they have so much talent to it because they made the beats themselves. They did all this work and stuff, and it's cool. And then
there's still like classic Disclosure stuff in it, like the sense that kind of just go wah 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 like that.
And that's the dawn of their face image, where it's like the
Disclosure
big
face.
The Disclosure face, which literally just go on Google and locate it. I mean, they'll probably put it somewhere in the podcast because that is their big, that's their logo and that's their thing. It's very unique to them, and they've kept it up ever since. And that's the face where like people have it tattooed on them. You have people at shows have little posters of it everywhere. It's a thing for the group. And then when they started to really get big was they released Latch EP 2 years later, where it was Latch with Sam Smith, and that song blew up everywhere. But it took a while for it to blow up a little bit. It blew up in the house scene, for sure. I was talking to Bam, actually, from We Made a Podcast, because he's the only other person I know who was in Boiler Room in, like, when Tom York did random mixes and, like, Little Boots did mixes and stuff, where, like, it was no one from America was listening.
For folks who don't know, Boiler Room is?
It's a little online show that they had Boiler Rooms in all different parts of the world, where it's just a lot of techno house club scenes and stuff, where they would have a DJ camera and you could live stream it if you weren't able to get there. They had a Boiler Room in LA, which I went to, which is really whack because not too many people were dancing. It was more like San Diego was a really good house scene where there would be people on E everywhere and it would be fun. And
we're talking like early 2010s.
Early 2010s. And the first time.
So they're streaming concerts, this is basically what we're saying.
Streaming raves. And the first one I ever watched from Disclosure was 2012 Boiler Room with Scream and Disclosure back to back at the W Hotel, which is a legendary show of like. They burnt that presidential suite to the ground.
The show ended with feathers everywhere. That's basically the best way I can describe it.
The show ended with just everybody off their tits. Guy and Howard standing there like, oh my God, what are we doing? This is hilarious. But the mix is wonderful. Like, the dynamic between them two and Scream, it's wonderful. And you get to see more of their mixing capabilities. And from there, they started to launch more. They did stuff with, Latch started to really get popular over in Europe, and then started to slowly creep over to the United States right before they released Settle.
Yes, I want to go back to Latch really fast, because I think there's so much Disclosure lore built into the song. Mm-hmm. Start with the idea of it. Disclosure thought that Latch was way too weird to be on radio and not clubby enough for the clubs. It's not necessarily a dancey song.
No, it's different.
It's written in 6/8 time, so usually
you hear that wah, 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 wah. It's very different.
Most dance beats are 4/4 because it's very easy for people to keep up and dance to. Mm-hmm. 6/8 definitely makes it very strange. And then the use of Sam Smith's voice, who at the first time hearing it, Disclosure thought it was a woman's voice, considering Sam Smith's sort of like changes with identifying with gender. That's an interesting sort of aside, but
and also because his voice, he doesn't need to go in falsetto when he gets high, and it's very rare. Like Yonzi does, like he has a Yonzi type voice where that's that soprano male voice, which is not common.
Yeah, Sam Smith at this time, they were not really known in a broad way as a kind of big vocalist musician, and Latch
and
put them on the map to the point where Latch really kind of annoyed me at a certain point because it was getting way overplayed. But that just goes to show that like Disclosure did not expect it to be overplayed. Sam Smith and Disclosure, and like they had no idea the song would be as big as it was, but it was big, and it was released before even their first project Settle came out. Even also released before that,
there were Control songs EP. Like.
Control EP,
Tenderlane Flow.
We could really kind of stave off this entire podcast by talking about all the little random EPs that folks don't really hear about from Disclosure. And we would encourage people who want to listen more, don't just listen to the albums, but listen to all the little random EPs and stuff. Because then Disclosure starts to really be like an electronic music kind of thing. But we can go into Settle.
Yeah, they released Settle in 2013. And it was a huge success, basically, from the get-go. Like BBC. They did like a little Radio 1 mix for like 2 hours leading up to the album stuff, which they do that with a lot of artists. Like Miles Kane did one not too long ago. You have Amelia Lenz, who's done one, if you know techno. There's a lot of different artists. Deadmau5 has done a couple where they do like 2 hours of just like uninterrupted mixes and stuff, different things that they like. And they would put some of the songs in there. So Disclosure, that where they would put some of the stuff from Settle, it was leading up to the album, and the album released, and it was just boom, hit. You had Latch, you had When a Fire Starts to Burn, you have White Noise, the one, you have F4U when it had Mary J. Blige onto it. So much.
Oh my God, like we gotta go into
We got to see Mary J. Blige live with F4U, and fuck, that tore the house down.
We've got to go into some of these songs. Yeah, Fool For You with, with Mary J. Blige, that version.
I think that version killed it, because the version with just Guy and Howard, it can feel a little flat because it's...
Just Guy and Howard.
It gets repetitive. You have White Noise right after that, which...
One of our favorite songs. There is maybe a video somewhere out there where Sean and I and another of our friends are performing the song.
And then my personal favorite from Settle is Defeated No More with Evan McFlane of Friendly Fires. If you know who Friendly Fires are, they're a little English band. And I think I listened to that song on repeat 8,565 times when it came out in 2013 and 2014. Because senior year of high school, literally I listened to that song over and over and over again, because it was a perfect mix of Disclosure to me, because it was like their house themes, like rooted back in the Boiler Room days, up to Latch and their Settle days of like putting out and really experimenting with a lot of these vocals and stuff in different production. And as, oh my God, I love Defeated No More so much. They played it live at Hard Summer. Ed McLaren wasn't there, but they still played it live, and I was like, I'm in heaven.
I'm going to stop commenting on this album, because like this, it's very rare for an artist to come up with their first album and you can play through the whole fucker and it's perfectly fine. Every song could have been like a pop hit.
Yeah.
My first
Help Me Lose My Mind at the end is a gorgeous song.
My first intro to Disclosure, one of my first intros, was seeing the music video for When a Fire Starts to Burn
That's right,
on Mass Appeal Records, back when that was a thing. And holy shit. Like,
I remember you sent that to me and I was like, wait, I didn't know they were making an album. I'm like, shit, I thought they were just DJs. And I go, whoa, yo, they made set, and then jumped in. It was awesome.
16 songs long, an hour and 9 minutes, and it's deluxe version. This is actually one of those special deluxe versions where like the deluxe version is like a standard album. It all plays through. I mean, maybe not play through as an album super well, but I could definitely just like play this, no skips, very easily. This is Disclosure Subtle is one, I think we might have said this on 50 of the 10s, one of the best albums made of the decade.
Yeah, for sure. And we definitely put that in 50s of the 10s, and it blew up everywhere, and it got to the US. Like, it took a while for it to get to the US. It took about maybe like 9 months to almost a year for it to get here, and then just boom, it exploded. And then they were doing shows everywhere. They were doing, they did Hard Summer, which we saw. They did like Bonnaroo, all these different, I think they also did Glastonbury as well. Yeah. They did so many different music festivals and stuff. And that's to me when it started to become more mainstream to like electronic music. Because before, like, I knew fuck all people that liked electronic music, like at all, really. And it was funny, Katie, my sister, started to get into electronic music because she was really like Sam Smith, and she started listening to that, and then she got into Deadmau5 and all this other stuff that now she likes electronic music a lot. So it brought it up.
Now your sister's like sending me Glitch Mob albums.
Yeah,
like,
well, she loves Glitch Mob, exactly. Yeah. And I'm like, or Swedish House Mafia, and I'm like, whoa, like, I'm down. I did not expect her to like that stuff, because I remember I showed her like Daft Punk Alive 07. She's like, whoa, this is random. Yeah. I'm like, oh, you need to get into the house. But it, especially in the US market, because it was still underground, it exploded and it gave it to the masses. And for better and for worse, because they started to get a little overplayed, especially with Latch, because now, like, it's a good song. I don't like listening to it.
Just
to
pause, like, this album cycle, I mean, usually when you're a touring artist, your first, like, set of tours from, like, when you're starting out to when you finish the touring cycle for your first album is a long time. Yeah. For Disclosure, that was about 3 years.
3 years.
From like when Latch came out, when they were like, this isn't going to be big, to they're finishing out Glastonbury, having released Settle Deluxe and having done all these different shows.
Yeah, the nice thing with them is they have so many B-sides and EPs and other things that they've put out that even aren't technically released. Like, you have Boiling, which is a really cool track that they like to mix in there. You have What's in Your Head, which is like an awesome house track that they will mix into their stuff as well.
If we're skipping forward, bang that.
And Bane That, which took me a while to like.
Yeah. Bane that, do you pass out? Shake that, do you pass out? Freak that, do you pass out? Work that, do you pass out? Bane that, do you pass out? Shake that, do you pass out? Freak that, do you pass out? Work that, do you pass out? Bane that, do you pass out? Shake that, do you pass out? Freak that, do you pass out? Work that, do you pass out? Bane that, do you pass out? Shake that, do you pass out? Freak that, do you pass out? Work that, do you pass out?
And they have some little things that they played at their shows before they released Caracol, which we get into.
Yeah, Caracol came pretty soon. Again, like, and we were talking about the touring cycle, it came relatively soon after Disclosure's first album, especially when considering that Energy is their third album, and it came out about 5 years after this.
Yeah. Caracol came out in 2015. It came out, so 2 years after Settle.
Yeah, 14 songs, hour and 7 minutes long. So a little bit longer, but definitely, like, this is Disclosure evolving their sound and pulling out all the stops.
And exactly. They definitely, I remember when I listened to this album, like, I wonder what we're going to get. I hope we get more of a broader sense of the sound, because with this, like, Bane That they released, I was like, okay, interesting. Yeah. I wonder what they will do with it. And then,
and we were Settled. The issue with, like, the Blessing and the Curse with Settle is that every song played through it so well that after hearing the entire album like 30 or 40 times, it's like, I thoroughly understand Disclosure's sound. What are they going to do to elevate it? And yeah, you really didn't really know going into it.
And
but
they made Caracol, and it's
fucking nailed it.
Fucking nailed it, which is incredibly hard for a band. They started us off with Nocturnal, which is Disclosure and The Weeknd.
One of The Weeknd's best collabs to date, still.
And this is the song that got me into The Weeknd. Out the light, and my mind is about to lose the fight. Why can't I find peace when a Caracol could sleep tonight? Because before I knew, like, I liked The Hills, and I liked Can't Feel My Face, and then there's some stuff I was like, he can get a little fuckboy-y, but let me see. But hearing his vocals onto it and, like, the potential, I'm like, damn, if he, like, shapens up a little bit within his image and other stuff, I will actually really get into his music, which he did this year, obviously.
Yeah.
But the main thing with that song is it started off and it's an evolution of their sound. It's more laid back, but the production
lower tempo, but louder.
But yeah, exactly, louder. The vocals are way more prevalent, and the production is absolutely spot on every single song in this album.
I'm not saying that Caracol is like Random Access Memories, but as far as like the difference of sound compared to two albums, it's like comparing Daft Punk's Discovery to Random Access Memories.
That's a great thing.
Because like, I remember like, Nocturnal is such a start to an album. It's just like Give Life Back to Music is such a start to an album where it's like, it's shimmering. It's got this like really thumping bass line.
Mm-hmm.
It's got, definitely like The Weeknd just knocked the, like, I need to stop before we continue talking about the whole album, but like this album starts with two, like,
a Nocturnal on Omen, right?
Omen with Sam Smith. Like, I think for me, just because I hate Latch now.
Omen's way better than Latch, because again, it's like they sharpen up their sound. They started to evolve as a group, and like, because they get older, they get wiser, and they also start experimenting more with music.
They didn't make Latch 2.
No.
Sam Smith's vocals got to see a different range. Sam Smith, they went really high in their voice, and they also went like really low, all in sync, like time, like Omen. It's, oh my god. Really, yeah. One thing Disclosure's always been really good with is picking vocalists who complement their music.
And that's a big thing with Caracol, is they had so many features in this album that before in Settle, there was a couple, not many, and they were usually lesser known artists. Like Sam Smith started up, you have some other artists, you know, everyone will know Mary J. Blige relatively, but you have Defeated No More with a guy from Friendly Fires, and you have stuff that people
don't
know.
Yeah,
Edward McFarlane. And there's a lot of that you don't hear. But then in Caracol, you got The Weeknd, Sam Smith, Lord. Like, there's so much into there that these prevalent musical artists get into it, but it still stays Disclosure in each and every song, even with there. Because you have, after Omen, you have Holding On with Gregory Porter. And that one was
so
awesome. You have Hourglass with Lion Babe, which is such a stark difference between the last of the album, but it still fits. So you can tell that they're starting to try and like evolve their sound and mix it with different artists and different things, different stuff. I mean, you have
Willing
Super
and Able,
Ego now, Willing and Able.
Because we're just going like through. Man. Willing and Able after. So Holding
with
On,
Quabs,
Hourglass, yeah. Willing and Able, Magnets.
There's not a run on an album like that. Yeah, there's so few that do
Willing
that.
And Able especially is like, I think it has a lot of the very early Disclosure DNA in it, in that it's like very, you know, like their sound. They make the bump bump sound at the right place. But it does what Caracol does. It takes it in a more soulful, kind of long singing way. Adds a lot more depth to it, adds a lot more range to Settle sound, which could be a little bit constrained at times, to Caracol, where it just like
it's
expands
super broad,
the range so much.
Like, you have Super Ego, Masterpiece, Moving Mountains. Like, there's so much into that album. We could literally take an hour just talking about this damn album.
Even Jaded, so, which the only reason I'll spend time talking about Jaded is we just talked about how Disclosure likes to lean on other artists for
and Howard Jaded. And Howard does the whole vocals for Jaded.
Yeah.
And his vocals were really good. Fucking incredible. And live, they were really good when he played, when we were saw him in San Francisco for Jaded. And that's, I liked this song when I first heard it on the album, but then live, I was like, wow, okay, this is one of my favorite songs on the album.
Yeah.
Because watching it then was amazing.
We saw this show live with friends of the, actual non-ironic friends of the show on Audio Face, Annie from the Kanye episodes, and Tammy, who did the Run the Jewels episode, as well as some previous ones. All four of us saw it, and it was just a fucking phenomenal show.
It was amazing. And there was big stark differences between when we saw them during the Settle tour and when we saw them during... Caracol tour too.
I mean, the only thing that was the same was that the setup was the same. It's still both of them have their like mixing boards, but they also have their instruments.
Yeah, but the whole mood of it was so different compared to it too.
It was a little more. Cool. It was a little darker as far as like color and vibes and everything, but it was more spectacle, which I think was also amazing to do because one of the first time we saw them during the Settle tour was at an outdoor festival. The first time we saw them during Settle, whereas the second time we saw them during Caracol was an indoor, relatively large music venue.
Yeah.
And they still managed to make, I mean, without the pyrotechnics, they still managed to make the Caracol version feel more massive. I've never felt more bass at a show.
Oh my God, at one point.
Bang That.
Yeah, when they played Bang That, I was just sitting, like, I could feel my bones vibrating, dog. Yeah. What is this?
I remember just like in slowly increasing numbers, like this is 9 bass, this is 12 bass.
I was like, at one point, we're like, we look at you like this is 15, like they can't get more bass or else our bones are gonna explode. And that was awesome. Yeah. Yeah. But then they took a little, like they did the big tour, they did a lot. And then they, a few years after that in 2017, they announced, also they, there was nominee for Best Dance Electronic at the Grammy Awards. They like performed the Grammys. There's so much to it now. Like they are established as one of the best duos in the world. And
yeah,
now
two albums in. Established as one of the best electronic duos since Daft Punk.
Yeah. But in 2017, they were going to take a year hiatus, exception of a few special things, which they did the BBC Radio 1. They did some, like, the Wildlife Festival that summer as well.
Wildlife was their own festival, yeah. Actually. So there was a little while where artists were having their own festivals. J. Cole had one, Gorillaz had one. Of course, we have Matt Deese and all those, so Disclosure had one.
And you had, like, right before that, they had the little Mook for Love EP in 2016, which I like. I really like Feel Like I Do with when they
with Al Green.
Featured Al Green. So little EP that they put out, and then they did their hiatus not too long after that and said, okay, we'll wait for a little bit. We're going to release some stuff, but it's going to be a while, which makes sense because they've been touring so much. They did a lot, and they wanted to evolve their sound, which they definitely started to do again.
Yes, this is in the news more recently because the CEO of Spotify said that artists need to speed up and release music more often. And again, we are going to, on this podcast, not talk about Spotify that much, and we're just going to keep telling you all these artists who are killing it and are amazing, and then we're going to tell you their schedules, and we're going to tell you how, in order to really craft this music process and do the best for yourself, it takes some time. It takes some ruminating on the craft itself in order to make it work. And this is especially a really fun part because, as Disclosure fans, describing the feeling of this 4-year period is going to be the most interesting. Because you just don't know what's happening. Like with the Moonlight EP, which you're getting into now.
Yeah, because you have, it's for me, it's like, okay, like Caracol was such a high and such a rush that, okay, let's see what happens. It was the Moogie EP, which I liked, I did like a lot, but I was like, okay, let's see what they're going to try
to
do.
The Moogie EP definitely, nothing like it on it sounded like Caracol.
No.
It sounded vaguely Disclosure, but it also didn't feel like something that like, oh, they're going to build a third album off of this sound.
Yeah, there's no way.
It just sounded like, yeah, they're just like screwing around.
And then after that, just a big break, and we're like waiting. I was like, okay, I'll just watch some of their shows and other stuff. And then obviously a lot more music came out after that.
And then about 2 years ago, this month actually, because this is August 2018.
Moonlight EP came out, which is...
Well, let's talk about how it came out. First, the song Moonlight came out.
Came out, yeah.
Yeah, and then like... Basically, we just randomly in the desert got a new Disclosure song every week. Every day for like a week.
Yeah, it just randomly. I was like, okay, like I'll take it. They didn't really announce anything. They just like boom, boom, boom. Here it is. We got some songs for you. It was 5 songs. You have Moonlight, Where Angels Feel to Tread, Love Can Be So Hard, Funky Session with Gwen McCann. Funky Sensation. I can't speak English. And Where You Come From. And it was such a different thing compared to Caracol. Again, I'm like, whoa, okay, they're evolving their sound again. They're doing more like or Angels Feel to Tread was such like a throwback-ish song of mixing stuff within like the 50s, 60s music, but then putting into it more of like a house beat into it as well. But it still feels like Disclosure, but again, a broader sense of them because they evolve their sound after everything they make. And it's impressive, really. I didn't necessarily like the Moonlight EP all that much, per se, because I thought it was maybe so much of a turn that I wasn't expecting it and stuff. But it took me a while to it, and I really liked Where Angels Feel to Tread.
I loved Funky Sensation. And
Funky Sensation's good, too.
And again, understanding the weird place I am in, where I have not heard most of Disclosure's newest album, Energy,
yes.
I feel like this Funky Sensation has the most DNA with Energy and like what the album is going to be. Because it's a faster song, even though it sounds very Disclosure-y, almost Settle-like in vibes, but definitely more advanced than Settle.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell they're starting to experiment with different types of beats and different... tones and styles.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something that, again, not to give away too much, but that's something you start to see carry more of its DNA mm-hmm. in future things that are released by Disclosure.
Yeah, and then...
That's the Moonlight EP,
in 2018.
In between then you have like Khaled.
Khaled, yep. You have Talk, which that exploded everywhere. Can we just talk? Just try, talk about where we're coming before we get lost. Maybe our thoughts can't get what we know without knowing. I've never felt like this before. I apologize if I'm moving too far. Can we just talk?
And the sad thing is, Talk was the one good song on Khaled's album, in my opinion. Khaled's a really good singer. I think his album before that, Free Spirit, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe that was the album that was it. But the album before it did really well.
And then they did another song,
so, too. I'm thinking of American Teen, that was the Khaled album that I liked. Free Spirit was the one that Talk was on.
Yeah, and we reviewed that on Audioface. Yeah. And again, we all said that where Talk is, it's such an amazing song. But the rest of the album fell flat, and it exploded everywhere to where it's in fucking kids' bop. Like, I heard it the other day, some kid walking around, and they're playing, like, a kid's version of Talk. I'm like, that's hilarious.
Incredible.
Can't wait for
10 years from now, we hear the kid's version of WAP.
I am waiting for it. I want Bad Bitches Only, but for kids' bop version. I want to hear a 3-year-old say... Whole pointers on my head looking like a lighthouse. I want them saying that.
I just want a 4-year-old just being like, chopper, make him pipe down.
Okay. But anyways, the last thing that they released that we're going to talk about was in February of this year. They had the Ecstasy EP, which we didn't realize was going to be like their lead up to the album. So we reviewed all the songs on Audioface already. That was the 28th of February.
Yeah, because again, like we had thought this might be another thing, kind of like the Moonlight EP.
That's what we both
they
figured
released
that.
Something that looks like it might be the lead up to an album, but it turns out to not be that. And so maybe this is just a disclosure. Hey, fuck it, here's some stuff.
Yeah.
And especially because it sounded, everything that was released sounded very unlike Disclosure. And that
it was like Afrobeat heavy into it, like a lot of African influences into it and mixing up, which is a big change. But I really like the Ecstasy EP. Where like, except, like there was only one I didn't like. I think it was Get Close I didn't like. But E-tron with E-tron and Atwa, I'm terrible at names.
Yeah.
So excuse me if I didn't pronounce it wrong. I really like that track a lot. The other ones took me a while to get into, but like Get Close, I don't know if I really like that song. I felt like it feels like Bane That to me, where it might take me like a year to like that song or something. But E-tron I've had on repeat all the time. I love that one.
For me, I mean, like I'm pretty predictable when it comes to Disclosure and sounds, but I'll especially describe like the DNA between Funky Sensation and Tondo from this is like so clear to me.
I can see that.
Tondo jumped out to me as being a Tondo's really cool one. And like, it is, I was actually just randomly texting out of the blue Sean the other day, maybe a week or two ago. And I was like, bro, do you understand how hard it is for me to not hear any Disclosure?
Oh yeah, me too. Because like my big complaint of this album is they keep releasing all the damn singles. So there's only going to be like three or four new songs. They did the Matty Healy of just like released the whole half the damn album. So I'm like, I've literally listened to the Ecstasy EP and that's it.
Here's the problem. Like even, I mean, us paying attention because we're Disclosure fans and we're music reviewers, but like us paying attention just like as people who see what Disclosure is doing, they've shown us the track listing. It's like 10 or 11 songs and they've released about six of them already.
Yeah.
So it's not even like Matty Healy where it's like, oh, we've released to you, what, 8, 9? We'll fucking give you 10 songs. We don't care. This is a 30-song album, that's son. True. Get out of here. Right?
They've like Disclosure have already released more than half the album at this point of like, so you're not going to be necessarily, if you've listened to all this stuff, you're not going to necessarily be surprised, but it'll be interesting to see how it'll link up with some of their stuff. Like on this EP, like, is it going to be these four songs or these five songs linked up together, or are they going to be different orders and stuff, or how is it going to sound when you have put the other music into it as well?
So like, we know it's going to be mixed up a little bit.
Yeah, that's true.
The thing with me is that like, you're getting, there was a single that came out from Energy featuring, I'm gonna screw up her name, but it's Fatou Mata Diawara.
Oh, Ultimatum?
Yeah. No. Ultimatum was a single that was done with Fatou Mata 2 years ago with Disclosure. That was already done.
That's right.
There's a new one on the new album that I heard, and that's like one of their lead singles.
Oh,
and I've heard like 6 seconds of it, and I'm like, oh, no, I can't. It's also very good. And of course, Fatou Mata, you may have remembered her from Desolée. Gorilla Song Machine song. Her voice is incredible.
Oh, it's amazing, because Ultimatum was awesome. That was like a random song that they released too in between Moonlight EP.
2018. Again, another EP that like Disclosure has a bunch of these little like sprinkled around. Mm-hmm. You should go and listen to them if you're really interested in them as a band. But it's gonna be I'm expecting it to be a banger of an album.
Yeah, just because of like the and it's
they have a track record.
Yeah, they have a track record, and the stuff we've already heard has sounded great. And the main thing is, again, they've switched up their sound. Now it's super African influence, which I'm like, cool. That's a really neat thing to do and to influence electronic music, because you don't hear Afrobeats in electronic music as much. You hear a lot in like Latin music and a lot of reggae and reggaeton and other stuff, but that's prevalent in that.
Yeah,
but
it hasn't made the crossover to contemporary, like European music.
Market
music,
which is
including
America. Yeah, which is going to be interesting to see how that does with people that don't have that Latin influence. So, because like a Spanish speaker and stuff, you're going to know J Balvin and a bunch of other artists and stuff within reggaeton and stuff.
Yeah.
You're going to hear that, but within that, now you're going to have more African influences. You're going to have so many different drum beats into it. So yeah. Because, I mean, Iturón has that, and you can hear it throughout the song, but it's so good.
And once again, there's a thing that a lot of EDM artists have tried to do, where they bridge this gap. They go on tour, and they realize that they're Latin American, and they're, like, African-based audiences are lit as fuck, and they want to make more music for them. And these artists do it in these differing ways. Sometimes it's like Dylan Francis and it's straight like culturally appropriating.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like Black Eyed Peas or Major Lazer where you're just
where
like
just
literally
sell out.
No, you just like collect some artists as you come and like, okay, y'all are gonna be my dancers. Y'all are gonna be in this video for 5 seconds. Y'all are gonna be on my radio show. Y'all are gonna be
because
they're trying to
milk that cow. Exactly.
Yeah. Again, this is Disclosure taking a crack at trying to broaden the sphere of electronic music. It's definitely will be good for them moving on from their Caracol subtle sound, but it'll also be good for, I think, electronic music as a whole to bridge these gaps like you're
and
saying.
And again, they're if anyone's going to do it, they're going to be the artists to do it because they have a track record of exploring so many different sounds within themselves, but staying true to themselves as artists too. So
yeah, we do a lot of stuff on Audioface to make sure that we are not too biased with artists. Even here, we are not listening to the full album 30 times before reviewing it because that would just be weird. And it's very hard. But yeah, these guys, these really good guys. Check out their music. You're gonna regret that you hadn't you haven't already, and if you're late to missing them. But at this point, how are you? Because they're fucking huge. And I was careful earlier with my point, but yeah, they are the hottest electronic duo since Daft Punk, I would say. This is their album to fuck up, the third one.
Yeah.
They still could. But if they don't, that's the track they're on.
Yeah, because the third album's always a big one that people can mess up on, so.
Yeah, I mean, the first album, they did a really good job on. The second album, they shouldn't have knocked out of the park as hard as they did.
Yeah.
So we just gotta see the third. But hey.
This has been Audioface.
Time makes things work very well. Daniel Ek. This has been Audioface. thank you very much for listening and watching this episode. We will be reviewing Disclosure's newest album, Energy, in a future Audioface episode. So make sure you are subscribed to us on the podcast app you're using to listen to, or check us out on our YouTube channel where we will have the review of that on our YouTube channel shortly after it comes out. And
wasn't mean to play us out. Follow us at Audioface Pod on Twitter and Instagram, and please send us over your music recommendations while we give you ours, as always. You can follow me, SW Suarez, on Twitter and Instagram, and you can follow Dan from at Dan from the Web on Twitter and Dan from the Internet on Instagram. Follow us on audioface.youtube.show to get all of the YouTube clips as Dan's pumping them out, like, I don't know, some factory. Thanks. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Listen to Disclosure, damn it.
Cheers.
Oh my god! Guy and Lawrence are like, what the fuck are we doing here?
you know they look at that with like Vietnam eyes now.
Because they're like, they're like, oh my god, we can't party with Scream again. No, he's grew off his tits.
No, I can just imagine them looking at that like, oh my god, aren't you so happy we're not like slumming it anymore? Like we never have to do a gig like that again.
No, those are the best gigs. That's the fun shit. It's just they were so young at the time. It's just hilarious.
It's hard for me to like, they were legit 10 years younger.
And they were legit younger than us than we are now.
Don't say that, because then I'll start messing around with the mini.
All right.